Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. You're listening to a previously recorded show, Foundations of Estate Planning. I hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Good to see you once again.
Thank you. You too.
We are continuing your series on foundational questions, issues that we need to have in mind when we are creating trusts or wills. And we're kind of into the area of how to take care of the spouse, and you want to review a little bit.
Yeah, this whole series has been, if you walked into my office, what are the questions that you could expect to hear me ask you? And so really, we've taken the radio show audience through an entire series of questions. You can find everything at legacyandfaith.com. Past podcasts are all there. This has been a little bit of a longer series, but hopefully it's been really good. And where we've been is we've talked about what happens if you are disabled or incapacitated. How do we best take care of you? How do we make sure that other people in your family are taken care of if you're not in control of your money? We've talked about, for married couples, what happens if one spouse dies over the other. We've talked about closing an estate. And so here we come about the next kind of topic, which everybody loves to hear me talk about, which is what happens with taxes. Mm. Because who doesn't want to talk about taxes on a beautiful Northwest day? Probably most people, but that's okay. We're still going to talk about taxes. It is a critical component of estate planning. Mm-hmm. There's many things that we can do to mitigate and oftentimes even eliminate estate taxes. Now, there's two type of taxes, and I want to make sure that we're all clear when I'm talking today about which tax we are dealing with. Mm. Number one is that we pay income tax every year. And so as a matter of fact, this is going to be airing right around that time where you have to send in tax returns. That is not the tax I'm talking about. The tax I'm talking about is estate tax. What happens when someone passes away and they have a threshold of money and now it's exposed to estate taxes? That's what we're going to be talking about here today. How do we mitigate or even eliminate estate taxes? And here's the deal. You can only do it if you have estate planning. Mm. If you just have everything in your name and you die and you use a will, you come across and your personal representative is going to close your estate. Things might be subject to probate at that point in time. Taxes are not a probate issue. Taxes are a how much money do you have issue. Well, I can't save you any taxes, or rather your estate, because you died, so you don't get to save anything. It's we're going to save your estate the exposure to the estate tax in Washington and the federal government. Mm. So if you don't do estate planning, I can't help you. Neither can any other attorney of your choice. So the first thing, as many times as I talk about on this radio show, the first thing that we have to do is we need to do a good estate planning. We got to have a conversation, take a look at your estate, take a look at your assets, and make a calculation that says, yes, you're going to be over the threshold, or no, you probably are not. And those plans can look very, very different. So they're not going to be the same plan. So we got to talk about taxes. Because, like I said, it's just a fun topic.
Fortunately, the threshold of tax has gone up in recent years. I mean, I remember when I settled in the state, it was like $600,000.
Yeah. And now you're talking federal tax.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so in the 90s, the estate tax was only $600,000. You're exactly right. Yeah. And makeshift trusts were created just because the tax threshold was so low.
Yeah.
And that really became the movement of using a revocable living trust as an estate plan.
Okay.
But it was very limited in its design. It was really limited to deal with the estate tax issue. And then back then, it was more common to make the trust a more controlling instrument than what it is now. So over the past 30 years, trusts have really evolved. The industry has really evolved. And on the federal level, now it's very, very high. And so it's $13 million for all intents and purposes. But we have a second estate tax that we are subject to, and that's Washington State. Right. Washington has an estate tax of $2,193,000. Mm. So those numbers are dramatically different. Now, so likewise is the percentage that you are going to be charged. So if you are exposed to an estate tax on the federal level, that's going to be a 40% hit.
Yeah.
Boy, that's spicy, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
That's and by the way, that's usually after you've already paid a lot of taxes just to make that money, right?
Yeah.
So it's a 40% hit. Now in Washington, if you are over, I'm going to call it 2.2, it's 2,193,000, but just for the radio program, 2.2. If you're over that amount, it starts at 15% and graduates up to 21. So not as spicy, but you know, if you don't have to pay a tax, why pay it? Mm. If there are clear legal avenues that most people take advantage of, but you're not yet taking advantage of, why would you not want to take advantage and so that your estate doesn't have to pay a tax when you die? What it really means is that if we save the taxes, then you actually get an estate that goes to the people you love or the organizations you care about. It goes to real people or real organizations instead of Washington State, because they're not a real organization and they're definitely not a real person. So therefore, unless you are really beholden to how Washington State uses their money, which I have yet to really meet one, then most people are going to want to mitigate or eliminate their estate tax. Yeah. Because then, like I said, it can go what you've made throughout your lifetime, what you have been given stewardship over, can go to proper places and better places.
Yeah, this reason alone, I would think, is probably the best reason to get estate planning and get a trust, get a will at least. So you can mitigate these giving all the money to the government when you die.
Yeah. Yeah. And most of the times, wills are not going to be the proper instrument. Could it happen for a single individual that we could also mitigate with a will? Sure, we could. Specifically, if a majority, if not all of your estate, is just going to go to organizations, nonprofits that is. So there are ways that we can use more simplistic or more basic instruments, i.e. a will, and set that up for success, specifically if you are going to be giving it to nonprofits. But if you're married, if we want to take full advantage of the taxing opportunities or, you know, mitigating the taxes that your estate's going to be exposed to, typically a trust instrument is going to be a more powerful, a more expressive instrument so that we can accomplish what your vision is. And, you know, I'm not here to tell you what your values should be, but I just really haven't met too many people that say, I really don't care about taxes. I have met a couple, actually, and that's fine, which is, yeah, I don't want to do all the fancy stuff and I'll just pay the tax and my kids or the organizations or whatever else, wherever my money is going, they're still going to have a decent amount. Okay, great. Not a problem. So really, what is your vision is always step one, right? So however, most people do not want to pay estate taxes if they don't have to. So those are the two taxes that we're talking about. We're talking about a federal tax at 40% and a Washington State tax at 15%, starting at 15, graduating up to 21. And I gave you the threshold. So what that really means, so let's use Washington State. It's probably more relatable to a higher number of listeners than having $13 million plus. Or if you're married, you get to combine those when you do estate planning right. You see, and that's one of the problems. If you don't do good estate planning, so I'm married. Let's say that the mechanic didn't take care of his own car and I have no estate plan, which is not true. And I die with $20 million. Well, if I die before I've done good estate planning and I leave everything to my wife, then how much money does she have? She has all 20. So therefore, because I did not do proper estate planning, or if I did estate planning that was super old, laws have changed, it hasn't been updated. If you use what is called a testamentary trust, which is when an attorney uses a will, but then they try to stick a trust inside of it for tax purposes. The tax language that I review in most of those are oftentimes are proper, not all the time, but are oftentimes proper. But mechanically, it doesn't work. And so if you use a cheap estate plan, one that is not done by someone who focuses on this area of law, then if I die and I have $20 million, everything goes to my wife. Then when she dies, she's got it all. And now we have an estate that's exposed to tax. Why? Because I didn't use my what's called an exemption. So the exemption is for the federal level, the first $13 million is exempt from taxes. In Washington, the first $2.2 million is exempt from taxes. So therefore, when we use a proper mechanism, most of the time a trust, then we can put in language that takes advantage of my exemption when I die and my wife's exemption when she dies. So therefore, when proper estate planning is done, you can take the exemption amount I'm giving you, and you can double that when you're married. If you're single, then you just get the one exemption. So again, in Washington, 2.2 for all intents and purposes, and $13 million for federal. So when someone passes away, we have to take an inventory and value everything in their estate. So what that means is we look at all of your bank accounts and how much money do you have in every type of account that you have. We look at your investment portfolio. We look at your 401k and retirement and your IRA and your Roth IRAs, your 403bs, everything. We look at the value of your house. We look at whether you had life insurance. We look at the business value if you own business shares, annuities, timeshares, in vehicles, your personal property inside the house. Are you stashing gold away? Do you have other valuables inside the home? Do you have paintings or jewelry? Literally everything in your life that we can attach value to, we have to add all of that up and come to a value and determine whether you are over one of the thresholds.
Even though the spouse, the remaining spouse is still alive, you have to be doing all this?
Or? Well, really good question. And the answer is yes. So if I die, then I need to determine what my portion of the estate is worth. So how do we do that? We add everything up. And because we live in Washington, it's a community property state. And so therefore, by basic community property law, I would be entitled to half of that. Now, if I had individual property, let's say my parents passed away and I received an inheritance and we put that into a separate account and I said, that's not coming into the marriage, that's mine. So my half of the community property plus anything that I individually own. Or if you were married later in life and you brought something into the marriage and that was always yours, you have a prenuptial agreement, other things like this, that's separate property. So it would be my portion of community property plus any individual property that I may or may not have. Okay, that gives me a total. You take it all. And we now look at the total sum. And if I am over the Washington threshold of 2.2, then I have a requirement that I'm supposed to file an estate tax return. Even if there's not going to be a tax due, so if we do really good estate planning, when the first spouse dies, the money is preserved for the use of the surviving spouse and no taxes are due at the time of the first death. Everything can be held for the surviving spouse. But then when the surviving spouse dies, if my estate owed a tax or my wife's estate owes a tax, then we would pay it all at her death. Okay? So it's kind of like almost like an IRA. You get to use it. And the tax isn't accessible until the second death.
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay,
yeah.
So...
But that's only possible with proper estate planning.
With good estate planning.
Proper trust.
So we want to make sure that we do good estate planning. So because this is so fun to talk about taxes, we're going to come back after break and continue our conversation.
Okay, you're intrigued by his approach to this subject and you want to get in touch with Paul Grant. How do people do that, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us so that we can get together, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. You're listening to a previously recorded show, Foundations of Estate Planning. I hope you enjoy it.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Paul is taking us through tax issues as it regards estate planning and creating a trust.
That's if you stayed through break and you're back with me when I'm talking about
actually,
taxes.
Actually, I think this is very important because, again, like I said in the first part of our program, having a proper trust is so important to deal with this issue of taxes. If you don't have a trust, you're going to have problems with taxes.
Yeah, a lot of people do come to become clients because they are at that threshold. Their financial advisor, they've heard the radio show, someone else has talked to them about, gosh, did you know that you could be taxed? And they go, well, I don't like that. And so it is an important topic. And I want to give a good general understanding or discussion about it. I don't want to get into the weeds because then I will lose people. But so we're talking about looking at an estate. We have to value everything and we come up with a sum. We just talked that if you're married and you pass away, the first one passes away, in most circumstances, we can preserve all those assets for the surviving spouse. And then when they pass away, then the taxing bureau comes and knocks on the door and says, okay, now I want the tax money. And again, when we talk about taxing estate taxes, the reason that we would want to mitigate or eliminate them is because then more is left for the family and more is left to the organizations that you want it to go to. So let's give a quick example. Let's say I'm single, I do estate planning, and I'm not leaving any money to charity. I just have two kids and I want everything to go to two children. And I've done good basic estate planning, but I've never done anything to mitigate or eliminate the tax issue. So now I pass away and I've got exactly $3 million because that's how estates work. They come up with an exact right. sum so that I can divide things very easily. Now, again, I'm not using specific numbers. This is a general discussion and just to give us an example. So $2.2 million, if I have a $3 million estate, that means I have $800,000 over the tax limit. It's a tick more, but we're just going to use that as an example. Your whole estate, all $3 million is not exposed to estate tax. It's only the amount that is over the exemption. So remember, the first $2.2 million is exempt from tax. So that is going to move to your beneficiaries without an estate tax. However, the sums that are over the $2.2, in my example, $800,000, that is now going to be exposed to the estate tax. And that's going to be taxed at 15%, okay? I'm not going to try to do the math. I'm not going to try to do it. So now we've got $800,000 at 15%, okay?
But that $800,000 is also subject to the 40% federal tax.
No, it's not.
So why is that?
Because it's
$13 million.
That's that. Right. Okay, so you don't have $13 million. So if I had $15 million, right. I can't do any of that math.
A really big estate is subject to the federal.
To both. Okay. Yeah. So I could barely get to $120,000 on my tax. Thank you, everybody, for helping me out. But I don't have a calculator in front of me, and I'm trying to do a radio show talking. So if you were faster on the math, great. So that extra $800,000, we're going to be writing a check to Washington State for approximately – this is all just round figures and general information – for approximately $120,000. Now there's $120,000.
Which is huge.
Well, that it's not a check I like writing.
Yeah.
And so now my kids, the two children in my story, are losing out on $60,000, or – charities are losing out on the whole 120, because if you're a charity, you take it all without taxes.
Right.
So there's ways that we can, like I said, mitigate or eliminate, fully eliminate those types of taxes when we do good estate planning. And so if we just sat down and looked at what your current values are and we do a quick tax assessment, I've got programs that will give me very clear sums when I'm able to put in your exact figures, and it'll spit out an exact figure. And we can sit down and come up with a plan that says, well, what are your values? What are you hoping to accomplish? Because everything goes back to what is your vision, right? God gave you stewardship of this money. So what's the vision he's given you? Is it to protect your family? Is it to give to charities? Is it to do something else with? Well, I want to know what he's placed in your heart. So that way we can create a document that will reflect that value that you have. And that also tells me what, if anything, we can do to start eliminating the estate tax. Sometimes people have a vision, and I really can't mix that with saving taxes. And we're just going to have to wrestle with that and come up and say, the vision and the values that I have are more important than saving tax money. Okay, I get that. No problem. I'll create that plan for you. Others would say, well, can I mix what I am trying to accomplish and save taxes at the same time? Most of the time, not always, but most of the time, yes, we can. We can do that. Mm. And other people walk in and say, there is no way I am paying one red cent to Washington State. Okay, I get that value too. Mm. So no problem. We can make sure that happens. It all depends on what is the driving force behind the client. What is their vision? And so when we talk about taxes, I never want the tax tail to wag the dog unless you tell me, make sure I'm not paying anything to anyone. Okay, not a problem. Then I'll move that the tax issues to be the body of the dog instead of just the tail. Mm. But most of the time, we can usually work out the client's values mixed with good estate planning, mixed with good tax mitigation techniques, and accomplish what the client is hoping to do.
Mm.
So really, it's client-driven.
Does an estate that completely avoids taxes invite more scrutiny, you think, from tax officials?
Possibly.
Like when I do my TurboTax, it goes, you know, you're in the red zone of likely being audited if you go with this.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. So. You have too many write-offs. It's like, well, I'm sorry, I'm such a generous person. So it depends on what we're doing with it, Mark. So are there, for very wealthy clients, are there very complicated schemes that we use to try to shift wealth and preserve estates? Yep. And is there a greater likelihood that those schemes are going to come under scrutiny? Yep. For smaller estates, it may not come under the red flag. There may not be any red in there. It may be very simple. You know, one of the easiest ways that you can save estate tax is by being generous. So if you have a heart to give to your church, to give to missions, to give to other organizations, give to the Red Cross, give to pet organizations. I don't care what your passion is. It's not a problem. But if you want to give to nonprofits, that is one of the easiest ways to actually eliminate and mitigate. But what it means is that if I give that gift permanently away, then that means it's not coming to my family. And so at the end of the day, if I look at my kids, if I look at their financial capacity and their abilities, their ability to manage it, do they have the skill set to manage more? Mm. And maybe at some point we just go, you know what? The kids are going to be just fine with blank many dollars, and it's okay to be generous to other organizations, and we can eliminate the tax. Unlike income taxes, estate tax gets a dollar for dollar deduction. So in my example, $3 million, if you gave $800,000 away to charitable organizations, 501c3 organizations, you would have a zero estate tax because dollar for dollar, it reduced it all the way back down to the tax threshold. Mm-hmm. That's one of the type of plannings that we do. Now, we can also use that and give the income to the charities for a 10-year period and then take whatever else is left and give it back to the family. So there's other things that we can do, be charitable-minded, plus be family-focused. But it all depends on whether I know your circumstance. How much do you have? Do you have businesses? Do we have cash available? Do you have a lot of real estate? All these things matter in how do we capture money and how do we effectuate a good plan with taxes in consideration as well as the values of someone else.
Okay, you've been listening. You're intrigued by Paul's approach to taxes and estate planning or any other issue. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. We've got past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, and you can contact us, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.